So I want to introduce our guests this morning. They've already come up. This is Davon Stack. He works with our J-High Ministry. He's been working with them for 7 years. He and his wife, Tara, have four kids and just are such a cool couple and family that work in that department. And I'm still getting to know this guy, still get to see him around. Probably the coolest guy on staff. Sorry, Chip.
I agree.
Just, man, I like seeing Davon. I like being around him. This is a picture of their family. And then Chip Sweeney, who has been here at Perimeter for 21 years and serves on the executive leadership team, is the director of city and community transformation, and also is giving leadership to this organization called Unite, which is actually a collection of about 200 churches around the greater Atlanta area that are really united around serving the needs of the community to see God transform them. It's just a really cool organization that he's a part of and helps lead, and gives a lot of qualification to what they're going to talk about this morning, which is how do we shepherd and lead our families in light of race, in light of this conversation and the reality that we live in. So without taking too much of their thunder, I'm going to turn this over to them, and I pray that this would be an encouraging and challenging time this morning. So give it up for these guys. Mm.
Good morning. How are you all? See, that is a much better response than I get from my middle schoolers, especially this early in the morning. It's like, hey, good morning. Like, So wait till high school. It's even better. They just leave. Well, my name is Davon Stack, and like Dustin said, I've been working here since 2010. I work with the junior high department over the ministry formerly known as the Bricks. It's now called J-High Link. And our focus with that is to get kids connected to Christ, to each other, and, of course, to an awesome leader like some of you actually are in this room. So that's great. That is my family. That's my wife, Tara. She's actually sitting in the back right there. She can wave her hand. There she is. She is not ashamed of the spotlight. She actually wants me to turn those over there. But anyway, I'll probably just speak over there so she can be seen. The guy that looks like Odell Beckham over on the far right side, that is my oldest son, Jason. He's 10. Miles is, he's 8. And Chloe, she's right there. She's 4. And Malachi with the crazy smile right there, he's going to be 2 in a month and a half. So that is our family. We live in Duluth. We've been there for, it'll be 5 years next month. And it has been a great time and a great journey just from being here at Perimeter and the families and people that we've gotten a chance to meet. I think it's probably about 2 years ago, like I said, I've been working with junior high students, and I was actually thinking about it probably, I want to say November or somewhere around there, and I was like, I know that God had called me to work with students. I remember being in college, and my associate pastor, he was just praying for me before I got a chance to give my first message. And as he was praying, he's like, Davon, God has just laid something on my heart. And he wants me to tell you that you are going to be able to share the gospel with thousands of people. And at that point in time, I didn't know what that looked like. I was like, God, I'm not Billy Graham. That's crazy. You know, something like that. And as of, I want to say, November of this past year, there have been 20,000 plus students to walk through the doors of the Bricks, and I've had a chance to share the gospel with them. So God is good. God knows what he's doing, and it is a privilege to do that every single week, and it's a privilege to see some of your kids that are already there and will be there one day, and not just share the gospel from the side of this is what salvation looks like in coming to know him, but also if you're already walking with him, what does the gospel do in your life moving forward? About 2 years ago, God gave me the opportunity to expand my footprint, I guess you could say, to expand his footprint here within the church. It was during the summer of, what year is it now, 2018? So the summer of 2016, and it was at a Rush conference, and they asked me to speak to some of the youth pastors. It was when all the big racial stuff was really heating up within our country. And I just got a chance to share with about 60 youth pastors my own experience, my own life experience and everything like that. And God just began to allow me to speak to more and more and more people about what it looks like for the body of Christ to be one, what it looks like for the body of Christ to come around each other, to rally around each other so that in the midst of the times that are even still happening now, that we're truly being heard. We're stopping and taking the time to listen to each other and not just lob grenades into a volatile situation. not just, okay, well, this is a bad thing happening in our country, here's my opinion, and not think about who all is listening to that. And so God's allowed me to have that opportunity, and this is another opportunity right here as well. I'm going to share some of my story a little later on, but the main thing is this. Why are we having this conversation, period? Why are we having this conversation about discipling our children about race through a gospel lens? Well, the main thing is because God sees it as important. Let's take a look at Genesis 1:26. It'll be on the screen as well. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And just that first thing, it says, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, we are all, no matter what shade of skin we are all made in God's image. And so whether you are a lighter shade or a darker shade, it doesn't matter. We are image bearers. What shade of skin you are does not mean you are greater or lesser of the image of God. God didn't say, he just said, boom, I'm making man, and there it is. One of the things I heard from Tony Evans is, he's Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Even their names mean like the differences in skin color. Like Ham was, they would say it means dark, and Shem means almost like a Middle Eastern or a more of a caramel type color, and then Japheth was a lighter shade. And so even in the beginning, and I was thinking, I was like, well, how does that work? And he was thinking, well, if we were made from the soil of the earth, as you go deeper into the soil, the darker it gets. And if we were made from that, then that just makes sense. And so even just thinking through that, I was like, God knew what he was doing from the beginning. Ephesians 2, 13 through 16. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity." And even thinking through that, like, that is what Jesus came to do. One of my favorite stories is the woman at the well. And think about all the barriers that Jesus knocked down to reach her heart. I mean, she was a woman. Men didn't talk to women during that time. She was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans didn't talk to each other during that time. This woman was a woman who had, I think, five husbands at one point in time, and the man she lived with now wasn't her husband. She was a prostitute. I mean, people would see her as a prostitute. That didn't happen in those days. And then you think about the fact that she was getting water at noon, in the middle of the day, the hottest part of the day. All the other women would have come out at six in the morning when the day started to get things. But she was in the hottest part of the day because she didn't want to be ridiculed by those people. She was a social outcast. And again, Jesus went after her heart because he said, it doesn't matter to me. You are an image bearer of God. And so I need to reach you. And through reaching her, her entire town had a chance to meet Jesus. And then last but not least, Revelation 7, 9 through 10. "After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm trees were in their hands, and they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and the Lamb." Guys, it is no coincidence that God would start his book talking about the nations and creating and creation and being in the image of God, and he would end his book, his book to us, saying the exact same thing, that we will all be together praising him for who he is. It is no coincidence. Today, guys, we're going to be talking a little bit about race. We don't have a whole lot of time. And I know that it can be a scary thing for us as parents, not just you, but us as parents. But let me just assure you that race in and of itself is not a scary thing. It's the shade of your skin. It's your bone structure. It's your culture. It's your language. It is your ancestry. That is what race is. Now, scary conversation is definitely racism. That is when it really gets tough. But that is a conversation that we do need to have with our kids. We don't need to just let that slide, because the thing is, we might think, and I do say we might think that if we don't talk about it, then our kids won't be aware of it. Or we might think that, you know, it's only learned. And so if we're not overtly racist, or we don't, you know, we don't talk about these things, then our kids won't think about it. Well, our kids grow up in the same world that we do. And they will make assumptions just like we do. And so imagine this. Imagine that, let's make a real story. This happens in my own household, especially when you have a four-year-old. They might say an apple's an orange by accident. And so what do? You correct them. You say, no, that's not an apple, that's an orange. Or what my daughter often does is she might call her Uncle Ryan her Uncle Eric. And so, you know, so we're not embarrassed. We're like, hey, no, that's not your Uncle Ryan, that's your Uncle Eric, or something like that, just to correct them. Well, how much more do we need to correct our children? How much more do we need to make sure our children are on the right path when it comes to race? How much more offensive would it be than, okay, yes, you called your uncle the wrong name, but what if she says something to this person of a different color or a different shade than she is? How, we've all been embarrassed at some point in time through that, right? I can imagine so. There's a story of a friend of ours. Her daughter said hello to all the white people that were in line with her at Kroger, and then she saw an Asian woman, didn't know what race she was, but she watched Ni Hao Kai Lan, and so she said Ni Hao to this lady. This lady was mortified because she was like, I don't know what to do. My daughter just did this. You know, and so we all have had those moments, or you will have those moments. Good luck with you. Good luck. It's happening. It's going to happen. But we've all had those moments, or we'll have those moments when that's going to happen. And we'll talk about that as well a little bit later on. But let me just throw this out at you. At the age of three, so beginning at the age of three, our children will begin to create an in-group bias. And so what does that mean? That means they will tend to prefer people who are members of groups they already, or that they also belong to. That could be, hey, these are my friends that come to this playground with me. These are my friends that show up in downtown for nursery with me. These are my friends that look like me. And so even then, we begin to create those biases. And then, as early as the age of four, our children begin to prefer individuals who are members of high status. My daughter is one of those. She will talk about all of her friends that are at her preschool because these kids are seen as the more cool kids within their group. It's just a natural thing that happens. And so if we don't jump in now, we are the first ones who should be talking to our kids about race. They shouldn't be hearing it from TV and other places. They should be hearing it from us. It's that important because, one, God sees it as important. And if we are believers, then we should see it as important as well, so that we can get our kids not preparing, as Bobby Scott says, not preparing the road for our kids, but preparing our kids for the road. So we can tell them, hey, this is how you go about doing things. This is how you talk to people, not to that race. This is how you talk to people. And just begin to help them to understand that that shade is just a color, that race is just a color of the skin, and begin to tell them what that means. Here's one thing, and Chip, you can jump in as soon as I finish this, but I want you guys just to think of this as well, that I know you all have heard this. I've heard this many times, is that I'm colorblind, or my family's colorblind, or my kids are colorblind. And that, and if you are colorblind and you say that, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you if you're colorblind. Because the thing is this, and for those of you who are actually truly colorblind, you understand this, that when you are colorblind, you miss things. When you're colorblind, you don't get a chance to truly experience God's creation for what it was supposed to be and what it's supposed to look like. And so if you go around saying, I'm racially colorblind, then you miss the truest beauty of God's creation. And so we need to tell our kids that this is what race is, and let's celebrate this culture. Let's celebrate this ethnicity. Let's celebrate this ancestry with them. Because when we see things that are beautiful, we want to know more about it. When we see things that are beautiful, we want to be around it. We want to investigate it. We want it to be near it because it is beautiful. And so if we tell our kids that race is a beautiful thing, that will push them toward it. that will push them toward God's creation as it's intended to be. So how does that look for you guys as parents? Well, it starts with us first. We have the most influence in our students' lives, in our kids' lives. And so Chip's going to jump into that. He's going to share some of his own experiences as a dad, as a father, as a man, as he has tried to push his family toward those very things.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Davon. I want to say, man, just what a privilege it is to be with Davon. I've loved just getting to know him through student ministry. Something you might not know is that Davon and I were wildlife leaders. If you don't know wildlife, wildlife is the middle school version of Young Life. And we did skits together, Coach Hash and Coach Tag, right?
Yep. We came out in whistles and Duluth purple, and we were clowns.
Yep. So we spared you our outfits.
We did debate doing this, and we're like, they're going to leave. Middle schoolers
really
stay, but they will
out.
Leave.
This is my family, my beautiful wife, Leanne, on the end there. We've been married 27 years. And then our kids, our daughter, Caroline, is a senior in college. Cannot believe it. She's going to be a middle school math teacher, keeping the middle school stuff going. I started out as the middle school pastor here. And then our son, Jack, is a freshman in college. And he's up at a school in Virginia playing a little bit of soccer. So I'm going to give you, and just try and do it in a few minutes here, a little bit of my story, and that's going to lead into you all having some time to dialogue at your tables. But I grew up in the Midwest. I was, we were kind of a white country club family. So grew up in a very kind of selfish, prideful environment. Kind of we were the haves. And my parents were of the generation that were definitely, maybe not overt racist, but definitely had racist tendencies and racist views. And so I became a believer a little bit later in life. I was 25. And when I became a believer, that certainly opened up my eyes to, one is all the sin that was in my life, including just my views of others, which include those of other races and ethnicities, but also just views of others that were different socioeconomically or whatever that may be. And so went through a lot of growth. But it wasn't until really a few of us birthed this movement called Unite. And I really got to know who my best friend now is. His name's Brian White. And maybe we could pull up that picture if that's all right, Alex. So this is, we say that we are twin brothers of another color, the same or different mothers, but the same Heavenly Father. And that was 14 years ago. That's actually our son Jack back when he was like 5 or 6. But I believe that the biggest way that we can disciple and shepherd our kids in this whole thing of gospel and race is our lives, right? Our own lives and our own relationships. Because honestly, our kids are going to pick up much more of our life and what they see us doing versus even what we say. Now, it's important. We need to be teaching and communicating. But what I learned is that as our kids were growing up, my relationship with Brian was probably the biggest thing in terms of them seeing, hey, what does this look like? And we grew up in the Duluth schools, which are incredibly diverse. But my son, from that early age, and daughter started calling Brian Uncle Brian. Right? We're family together. So what have I learned? A couple things. As a white man, I learned that I don't know what I don't know. And that is, you know, I grew up as a white young boy. I don't know what it's like to grow up as a young black boy. I don't know what it was like to grow up as a young Asian boy. I don't know what it's like to grow up as a young Latino boy. That all of us, we grew up in our sort of sphere and our lens. And I'll say this, particularly us, I'm just going to be frank and honest and candid, right? But us as whites, we kind of see life through one lens. And that's because we are the majority culture here in the United States. And so I saw life sort of through one lens. It's like, do you know horses have those things called blinders? Or I don't know exactly what they're called, but they're like blinders, right? So a horse cannot see to the rear and to the side. And they do that for a reason, so they stay focused. But in many respects, I felt like I lived life with blinders on. Because I experienced life through the lens of being a white person or being white. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, except it's really not a good excuse to not care, not love. And what I began to learn through my relationship with Brian or Davon or some of the other pastors and church leaders, their different ethnicities, is the only way that I could begin to know and understand them and to be able to see which, with a much kind of wider lens was unless as getting in a relationship. Getting in a real, and where we're just not talking about the Atlanta Falcons, or we're not just talking about work, but we begin to talk about our lives mm-hmm. and what have we really experienced. And it was really through that, and you know, when we begin to get to know somebody, what I found is, and this is the case whether, you know, whatever race we are, whoever we're talking to, but the key is being humble and being a listener and a learner. I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle with being a good listener. And that is that I'm listening so that I can think about what I want to say. So what I'm learning is that I want to be humble and listen so that I can better understand my brother or sister, and that I can begin to feel and even understand what their experience has been like. And when I go with that attitude and go as a humble listener and learner, what I found is that it is so much easier to build relationships and to really go deeper. So, you know, when you first get to know someone, you want to know, hey, what's some of your background? What's some of your story? What are your hobbies? But as we go a little bit deeper, right, here are some questions that help me. What have been some challenges that you've experienced in your life? And even what have been some things you've experienced because of your skin color or because of your race? And when I began to ask those questions, it's like my, you know, Davon was saying, don't be colorblind, but it was like I was very partially, if not much, blind. And all of a sudden, my eyes began to see that, you know what? People that are not white are treated often differently by the police. Or when they go into a department store, I don't know what it's like to have the people who work there follow you around because they suspect you might steal something. Wow. I don't know what it's like for someone to be walking down the street and to see you and to take them and their kids to the other side of the street because they're fearful. I don't know what it's not like to get a loan or not get an opportunity at work because of my skin color. Even for a Hispanic, I don't know what it's like to feel like you're always being looked at as an illegal. Or as an Asian, to be looked at and assume that you're an IT, or if you're young, you're a study geek, or even that you've done karate. And so as I began to go deeper and begin to see and hear and understand, all of a sudden it gave me a new appreciation to be able to understand and to really be able to love. All right, so we want you to take some time now at your tables. We're going to come back and hit some more, but is there a question, Davon, that we wanted to make?
I don't know if it made it to the screen or not. Alex, were you able to get it up there, bud? If not, I could just ask it. We'll start there. The discussion question. So I'll just read it out for you, and if it gets there, perfect. So you're here today because you felt the need to be here. You felt you needed to either be to get validation, information, or somewhere in between. So share with those around your table why you showed up, and be honest. There you go. That's the first thing I want you guys to do. So around your table, share why you are here today, and like I said, be honest. Again, it could be, like I said, it could be, you know, hey, I wanted to get validation for the things I was already thinking, or I just strictly needed information, or somewhere in between there. All right. So there was actually a second question, but we don't have time for that. So let's jump back in. For this final section, what I want to do is I want to share a couple stories with you guys from my own experience and from my family experience, and also just give you guys just some practical things to take home. I think that's the biggest thing. That's why I believe you guys are here for the most part. So my parents, so I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina. My parents were, well, my dad was in the military, and they did that on purpose. One, my dad wanted to be in the military to make some extra money. He was in the reserves. But also, they both grew up on farms. On my dad's side, my dad was number 10 of 12 kids. And I know, I hear the audible groan, like, oh, jeez.
Woo!
Yeah, one time, okay, listen, real fast. We don't have time for this, but I'm sharing the story anyway. One time, I'll say, my wife and I, we've been married for probably like 2 or 3 years at this point, and my dad was going on saying, you need to save money to do this, and give me all these things. And I was like, Dad, first off, my mortgage is 3 times what your mortgage was. Can we start there? And I mean, my house was smaller, everything. But anyway. My parents, they've been married for, what year is it, two? They will be, it'll be 48 years on Valentine's Day. So they have been together for a little bit longer than me in my 14. But anyway, so like I said, my dad was number 10 of 12 kids. His dad was born in 1907, and his mom was born in 1909. So they saw a whole lot of things going on in their lives. My mom was number 12 of 12 kids. Yep, it gets crazy. So I have, hold on, I have 22 aunts and uncles, and as of, I don't even know the number now, I remember when I was a junior in high school, on my dad's side of the family, there were 376 people. On my mom's side, they're more rabbit-like, so there's no kids in the room that understand that. Well, Carter, shh, stop it. So yeah, they, I mean, and her dad, my mom's dad, my grandfather, he was born in 1897. He was the son of a slave owner. He was actually, and so he was mixed. I just heard a cool story that the land that my mom grew up on, the farm that they had, my great grandfather couldn't give it to my my grandfather because he was seen as black, and so he went to a friend of his dad who was also a white guy, and he basically did all the paperwork to give him the land. So the land that my mom grew up on was actually their own farmland. So really cool story there. But her mom was born in 1900. So there was so much that they saw growing up. And they said, we want our kids to be in as diverse an area as possible. And so that was another reason why my dad grew up in the had us grow up in like a more military family. So I saw the world all around me where we were. They intentionally put us in a diverse area and a more diverse school because, again, they wanted us to see the world for what it was. So how did that help me? Multiple ways. I got a chance to see people as people and not necessarily just in the shade of skin that they have. One story that I'll tell you now is when I went to Romania. I was in Romania in the year 2000, went there for a mission trip, and I was the only black person in our group that went. I remember being in the subway and looking over to the next car down, and everyone in this car was like this, looking down at me, and I was like, hey. And also, I decided to look in the next car down, and everyone in there was looking like this, and I was like, this is weird. All right. So, but yes, so that was part of my experience. But later on in that trip, we were there, and we went to eat at a restaurant, and it was an outdoor restaurant that had a band that was playing, and it was a live band, and so we're all sitting there, just kind of like this group of people, and one of the guys, the leader of the band, he said, "Hey, you, come up here," and I was like, "Sure, why not? I'm not afraid of the spotlight, kind of like my wife, whatever." And so I get up there. I was, I think it was my sophomore year in college. And so I get there, and he looks at me. He goes, "Hey, I want you to dance." And I was like, "Well, I'm not very good at it. Again, you can ask my wife; she'll tell you. I'm more of like a prop when we go to weddings. She dances, and I'm kind of just standing there, like, yay." she will tell you that. That's a true statement. She's had a hard life. And so he told me to dance, and I was like, "No, I don't dance." And so he takes the microphone and puts it behind his back, and he says, "I told you to dance, you chocolate monkey." And it was only by the grace of God that I was able to just walk away. I saw my hands around that man's neck, and I just left. I was in the middle of Romania, had no idea where I was. I just had to leave. I eventually made my way back, found my way back, again, by the grace of God as well. But that was one of the major racist experiences I've ever experienced in my life. But because of how my parents raised us, they raised us to, one, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And because of that, that allowed me to, even in the midst of that awful situation, allowed me to do something different, to be able to walk away. And it also didn't allow me to take a hit to who I was and to who my identity was in Jesus Christ. Because I said, if I love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself, I'm okay. I know that if whatever happens, whatever is done, whatever is said, that my identity is wrapped in God. Is wrapped in Jesus Christ. And so we've done the same thing for our kids as well. We have, we live in Duluth. It's a very diverse area. We put our kids in B.B. Harris, which is a great school, but it's also a very diverse school as well, so that our kids can see the world for what it truly is. And it was probably, how old is Jay now? So I think he was seven. Was he seven? So he was 7 years old, and he went with a family, some friends of ours that actually attend here. He went with them to on a trip, and he was there, and you know they were all having fun and everything like that. And we said, "Hey, you can go. We love this family. We know they love us and everything." There was probably 20 different families that were there, and so one of the things while he was there, he was talking to one of the older kids that were there. I think he was probably a freshman in high school at this point in time. And he said, "Hey, Jay, you want a cookie?" And of course, you know, any 7-year-old and everyone in this room says yes. And he was like, "Yeah, sure." And he goes, "Ah, you can't have one because you're black." And so my son, I'm so proud of him, to be honest with you. But again, it's because of how he was taught, I believe, and by the grace of God, he walked away. And the guy was like, "Oh, I'm just kidding. I was just joking around." And my son was like, "No, I'm good. I don't want one. I don't need one." But again, it's because of how he was taught, because of the groundwork that was laid for him to understand that God loves him with everything. God has given him everything. And his parents have taught him as well that, hey, man, you have to love your neighbor as yourself so that no matter what is said to you, no matter what is done to you, because God's love for you, you are able to love people differently. You're able to love people in a way that the rest of the world can't and the rest of the world won't. And so when I talk to you guys about this, I want you guys to understand that's the groundwork that you have to start at. Those verses that I gave in the beginning, but also love, that's what the greatest command, that's what it comes down to. We have to teach our kids to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves. Because if that is the foundation, then they will be able to love themselves. They will be able to love their friends and family. They'll be able to love all shades well. because that is the foundation of their life. That is what their love and their life is wrapped up in. Now, I put some books on the table that I would love for you guys just to take a look at. I don't have that many of them, but just take a look at those. Are some that my wife and I looked at, and we said, hey, these are good books that would be good for, especially the younger ages, just to kind of read through to them to get them to get acclimated, if you will, or just to say, hey, this is, God has made us differently. God has made us in different colors and different shades. So what are some things that we need to do? One, as we start out, talk to our kids about race. We also need to put our kids in situations where they can interact with multiple races. So whether that means, and it might mean moving to some other place. It might mean moving a little bit further down the road. It might mean going to this neighborhood instead of that one. It doesn't mean, hey, I'm going to go move into a neighborhood where there's, you know, violence. It just might mean, hey, just move a little bit further over so our kids can be, you know, they can see the world for how the world's supposed to be. It might be going to a different school than where you currently are. That was a decision my wife and I made because we said we began to get lazy as parents in the school that we were currently in. It was easy to be a parent in the school that we were in, and we said we need to be aware of what our kids are going to learn. We don't want our kids to make it to middle school and high school when we have to try to teach them all of this stuff at one time. We said, let's let them walk through this. And we can walk through that with them because we are the best example for them to be able to walk through that with. What else? When your younger kids take in that in-group bias of saying, okay, these people look like me, so these are people I want to be around, or these people have the same things in common as me, so these are people I want to be around, begin to share with your kids early to say, hey, you know, don't just hang out with that group, hang out with this group as well, because they like, you know, bring up things like, hey, they like dolls as well, or they like football, or they like to, you know, they like to, I don't know, roll around in the dirt, or, you know, whatever it might be. My son, who's two, is picking his nose this morning, so they like boogers too. So, you know, whatever it might be, but get them involved with other things, help them to see other things that they have in common. We told him like 8 times to take his finger out of his nose, and every time he got further and further up there. Pray for him. He might have a brain disease going on right now. sorry. That's the middle school pastor coming out of me. Just further and further up there. Also, model the need for diversity for your children. And that is where it might get a little uncomfortable for us in this room. But if our kids are going to see it, we can't live two lives. We can't say one thing and do something different. So we need to have other people in our lives that look different from us as well, right? Right? One more time. Right? There we go. I think I got most of you guys. But we have to model that for them. We can't just say, oh, go hang out with that person. I'm going to just go sit in the house and do nothing. Hey, let's go hang out. Let's go hang out with that family. Oh, those are your friends. Let me go get to know their parents. Different things like that, because that needs to happen. One thing I think of is many of us in this room have gone on overseas mission trips. And what you'll typically do is you'll study that culture and get a chance to know who those people are so you don't offend them. Well, do the same thing for your neighbors. Get a chance to know who they are. Get a chance to know what culture they come from so that you're not offensive to them when you have a conversation with them. So you can help your kids celebrate that culture as well. One thing is great is getting your kids involved in extracurricular activities, not just sending them to a different school, but get them involved because, you know, when they're on a team, they have the same goal, the same purpose, different things like that, and that will push your kids into deeper relationship, and you as well, into deeper relationship with the families around you for multiple reasons, for race relations, we live in Duluth, and our sons played football with some of their friends at Johns Creek, Junior Gladiators. And so they played there, and we got a chance to know some of the other families. And, you know, the church is talking about greet, befriend, and invite. And we got a chance to invite some of those families to church alongside us. So it's not even just race, but also just salvation as well. Get a chance to know more people so that those things can happen, because that's another great thing to teach our kids. One other cool thing I think is this. God has placed us within 6 miles, depending on where you live, of Buford Highway. If you've never been to Buford Highway, you need to go. I mean, in Duluth, it's more of a Hispanic area, and then it makes its way down to more of an Asian area, then it hits Hispanic area again. It's like a League of Nations going down that street. There's so many good restaurants right here. You don't get to this size just eating ham and cheese sandwiches. Just saying. Yeah, or salads, right? Yeah, anyway, there's got to be a lot of meat on that salad. That would be a great experience as well. I mean, when you get to a stoplight, have your kids look around. You look around, say, hey, look at where you are. Take your stop looking at your tablets and phones and just say, hey, look around and see where you are. That is not far from our house. Or it's Black History Month right now. Take a hero, an African American hero, and say, "Hey, let's study this person this week. Let's get a couple books from the library and read about this person this week. And next week we'll read about this person. And next week we'll read about this person. And see how that begins to stir up things within you and within your own kids." We have Chinese New Year's coming up. It's on the 16th. Study that. Get your kids understanding different cultures. Get your kids to celebrate Cinco de Mayo. We have some of our best friends simply because we celebrated Cinco de Mayo. That food was amazing. And it was great. It was a great experience. Our kids are so close to their kids now. We are so close to that family. We've been walking with that family through different issues and different things for the past 5 years because we had one meal with them. One. There's so many things. I said this to Jeff Norris, and I was like, we should also, I said, you know, find out about Hanukkah, find out about, you know, Ramadan. He goes, don't celebrate. I was like, true, don't celebrate Ramadan, but find out about Ramadan and let your kids know what these other cultures are involved with, all the other cultures believe. They need to know. You think about Paul. He said, I've become all things to all men that I might save one or some, I believe. I might save some. He knew so much about the world around him so that he could be as great of an influencer as possible. So we need to do the same thing. Model that for our kids. Yes, there's more that could be said, and I would love to say more, but our time is short. I want to open up the floor. How much time is it?
Can I say one or two more things, and then we'll open it up for
Q&A? Sure.
So what stops us from building relationships with those that are not like us? It's fear, right? Absolutely. Fear of saying the wrong thing, fear of offending. Let me encourage you, give yourself some grace.
Yeah.
We will blow it. I can't tell you the number of times in my relationship with Brian or others that I have said something I thought, man, should not have said that. But you know what? Just because we're taking some steps and beginning to understand and learn, there's grace. And so it's okay. We will blow it. You know, we will say the wrong thing.
The better you know that person, and the better they know you and that you care about them and that you love them, they will give you grace as well. They'll say, hey,
absolutely,
man, that's not cool. This is what you should say instead.
Or, yeah.
You know.
Man, I was with four or five of my African-American brothers, and they started talking about some stuff. And I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about. And later I said to Brian, I was like, Brian, help me understand what you were even talking about. And that gave me a better picture, a little bit of culture that was just different. But I'll say this, at least for me to end, is I am so much of a better person. I have such a better understanding of the gospel. And I can see and understand more clearly and appreciate much broader beauty and depth of love than I ever did before I started having deep relationships with those different than us. It is more than worth it.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's a little bit uncomfortable. Yes, we'll blow it. But I tell you, the gains far outweigh any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, any thoughts? Any questions? Any? I know we need to wrap in a few minutes, Dustin.
We were great.
Yeah.
My wife probably didn't want me speaking, but I have a thought.
I have a thought on building relationships with people of other races. My wife and I, we don't like all black people as far as being friends with them. Some relationships won't work. So as you're trying to build a relationship with someone of the other race, you may not have chemistry, but don't allow that non-chemistry to prevent you from finding a relationship with someone else of another race. The purpose is to break that wall, that barrier down, and still try to reach out with the sense of God in your mind that you're trying to get to know this next family. Mm-hmm. Don't let one bad relationship of another race ruin the opportunity to seek another relationship with someone of another race.
Yep.
That's good. That's a great word, Wesley. Yep. Great word.
Can I also like to add one more thing, especially after working with so many students and doing different missions type things or whatever like that. One thing that would be really good for you guys to do as families and us as families is don't go into a situation where you are just simply serving another race, but serve alongside that race. Because we can tend to, we can tend to go into a situation to feel like, hey, we are the great savior for these people. Look at what we're doing. And we don't want our kids to come and say, oh, look, let's go serve this. Let's go serve. Yeah, serving is great, but serve alongside them. Because one, that builds trust. If you go, instead of going to a place where you're just certain, I'm going to just fix up your house, but hey, let's come alongside you and fix up your house. Mm-hmm. It opens up room for conversation. It doesn't look like, hey, I'm better than you. It doesn't create a difference there. It's we are working together for the same goal.
Yes.
My daughter's 7. What's a good way to start the conversation?
Your daughter's 7?
Mm-hmm.
Good way to start the conversation? Honestly, I mean, again, like even some of these books here at the table, and just say, you know, and just begin to just open up the door of just that world. Just say, hey, look at these people and look how God has created them. Let's celebrate that their culture. Let's celebrate they're here. But yeah, just, I mean, even something as simple as that, beginning to celebrate the culture, or even, hey guys, let's go to this restaurant tonight and let's talk about the food that we ate. You know, different, and make it fun for them. You know, don't make them do a book report, but just say, hey, let's talk about this food. Get a chance to know the owner or the manager of the restaurant. Say, hey, how'd you guys get started? Where are you from? Or different things like that. Is Dustin still in here? I know Dustin was going to say this, but there's going to be more conversations that can be had as well. Go ahead and throw that out there. I think it'd be good.
So first off, thank these guys for just leading us this morning and dealing with a difficult topic and just being honest and honestly being willing to step into this. Thank you for shepherding us this way. We recognize that this is probably stirring some questions, stirring some thoughts, even some emotions based on just your own experiences or wanting to just grow in understanding and know this. And the reality is parenting and leading a family starts in our own hearts and starts with our own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So we want this to really just be a beginning of kind of starting conversation and beginning a learning and growing process. So we actually have sign-up sheets in the back on the table that if you're interested and you'd like to meet with a few people over lunch or coffee and just kind of continue this conversation, bring your questions, bring things, just discuss it in a smaller group context, sign up on those. Indicate which one, you know, if lunch or coffee is better. And we've got some people on staff and friends that will help facilitate those conversations. If you're interested in being part of even facilitating that discussion from your own experiences in life, indicate that as well on the sheet. We want this, again, to be a beginning of this, not just to be a one-off thing, but really a starter in growing and understanding and just developing our skills as parents in light of the world that we live in. So sign up for that. Can I add one more thing?
I'm sorry, Dustin. Be praying for us as a church.
Yeah.
You know, we have a deep desire to be a church that better reflects our community. Mm-hmm. So when Perimeter moved in this property in 96, if you looked at a, you know, 5 or 6 mile radius, it would have been 90 to 95% white. Now, when you look at a 5 to 6 mile radius, it's barely over 50% white. So if we want to be able to connect and love our community well and be able to relate, right, we want to become a church that, it's not about exact percentages, but loves well so that we do become a church that better reflects. And coming off the preaching series, there's one more week on loving the poor. Then there's going to be 4 weeks on loving those of every race. And there'll be a Sunday night panel as part of that. So this is all part of how do we as a church, and of course the church is us, right? That gets down to what we've been talking to this morning is, wow, really, how do we build relationships? But just wanted to add that too.
Yeah, thank you for that. You know, even from my own personal experience, and I was able to do campus ministry for almost 10 years and at some several different campuses. And one of the most freeing things I learned in engaging with students, especially seeking to the college campus, if you look at it now in the United States, is incredibly diverse. I actually had the opportunity to work at a campus that was consistently one of the 10 most diverse campuses in the country. And I didn't have any choice, but I had to engage with people that didn't look like me and didn't come from my background. And one of the most freeing things that someone taught me as I was getting started in ministry was start with just getting to know them, learn their story. They said essentially, a person becomes a life once you hear their story. That they become something different. They become more than a face. They become more than a statistic when you get to know them. That was so freeing for me as a young 20-something trying to start out in ministry, but much less, I mean, even more in life, just saying, all I need to do is get to know this person, see beyond what my preconceptions, whatever it is. And Jeff said something this morning, too, that I think is powerful for us even to meditate on and think about, that when we move toward others, when we engage toward people who may not be like us or we may perceive as having less than us in a number of ways, what we're doing is really recognizing the dignity that God already bestows upon them as a child of God, as his creation. All we're doing is acknowledging that fact that's already there. And what that does internally for us is moves us from a place of superiority to equality. It says, now I can come to you as a fellow man or woman, a fellow creation of God, and love you and care for you just as God does. So those two things, Jeff said that this morning, and I'm still, like, that's just bouncing around in my head even right now. But thank you guys again for sharing this morning. Let me pray real quick, and we'll wrap up. Father, I do just thank you for the heart of this church that really wants to see people move toward others and move out into our community, God, that is honestly so diverse, so different. I thank you that we are where we are. I thank you that we have the people around us that we do. And I pray that you would begin to do a work in our own hearts to prepare us for what it means to move beyond our comfort zone, to move beyond what we're used to being around and engage people. And not only for our own experiences, but for our families, for our children, that they would see that modeled, that they would see that loving others, no matter what they look like, no matter what they have, is truly the way that God intends for us to live. And then that would plant seeds in their hearts and their minds that would grow them into to the beautiful people that you intend for them to be. So I thank you for this time. I pray that it will be just a catalyst for growing in the future. We pray all this in your name. Amen.